My story is, when I was 5, my mom died in a car accident, and my dad was an alcoholic, and I was put up in foster care. I was in foster care for 4 years, where my brother and I were eventually adopted into the family we are in now. And my parents became Christians when I was 12. We actually all became Christians here in Red Deer. I had a good growing up. When I was 16, I went on a mission trip to Australia. Spent a summer out there. When I was 18, I went to Africa for a summer. When I was 18, I also discovered alcohol. When I was 20, so I drank probably for the last 20 years on and off. I just want to thank God that for praying parents and for a faithful family that's always been there for me and loved me. When I was 20, when I went to Bible school, I went to Oklahoma for a year. And even there, I found drinking. My dad called me and said, "I'm going to be down there in 24 hours, and you better be there." And I'm like, okay. So my dad came and brought me home. My parents are white, and they have two daughters. And when I was adopted, I always said I wanted sisters. My brother was also adopted with me. So when I was 22, I got married and moved to the States for 7 years. I had two beautiful girls. And then I came back here. I had a son and was in an abusive relationship. And I was in the middle of going to school. I went and got my dental assisting when I was 30. Still doing my own thing, right? Still struggling through my addiction until about 2 years ago. See, I don't have my kids now. 2 years ago, my children were taken away from me due to my drinking. I've been sober for 2 years now. I went to a program in BC for a year, and I knew that if I didn't go into this program, I needed at least a year. It's called Esther House in Kelowna, BC. I came here actually after my 1 year program. I came here and I met Arlene through Gertie, and came here, didn't really go to church very often, but yeah, I came back here about, and then I went back to Kelowna, because I actually, 6 months ago, I signed over my permanent papers for my son to go live with his aunt. I thank God that I'm here today, because I don't know where I'd be without him. He supplies all my needs. When I came here 5 weeks ago, my car had broken down, and I called Arlene, and I'm like, I need to come out there. She's like, just get yourself here. And I'm like, okay, I can do it. I have a good family now. And I can call this place home. And I don't have to rent anymore, because that's what I've been doing for 20 years. I've been renting from year to year to year. And only God knows why I came back to Red Deer. But it's good. And I want to thank you for being here.
Maybe Darlene will just have you here. Why don't you just reach out your hands. We just pray for our dear sister, Lord God. We just thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in her heart thus far. God, and it's no accident that she's here today. God, it's no accident, Lord God, that she was able to testify here this morning, Lord God, of your grace and mercy. God, it's you that draws us, Lord God. It's you, Jesus, and you alone, Lord God. You're not willing that any of us should perish. So, Lord God, you make a way where there seems to be no way. So I just thank you for my sister, Darlene. God, I just pray a covering of your blood over her as she continues to live in the city of Red Deer. May she experience you in such a deep revelation, Lord God, that she'll know beyond understanding, Lord God, that you are real, Jesus. And then that you have a plan for her life, Lord God. And we contend for the plans and purposes that you have for our dear sister, Lord God. What the cankerworm and the locust have eaten, Lord God, you, Lord God, are able to restore, Lord God. So we're asking for restoration, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. Restore her to wholeness, Lord God. Hallelujah. With her children, with a job, everything, Lord God. Hallelujah. We just pour down your desire upon her, Lord God. You have special plans for our dear sister. So I just pray a special blessing upon her right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Our brother Jerry. Astam. Astam, my brother. Hey, hey. You want this one? You want this one? Okay. Get your stick.
Sometimes it is heavy, depending on where you are in your walk with him. But he said he'll lighten the load, and he does lighten the load. Thank you so much. Only 2 pages and only 22 post-it notes. So hey, bear with me. And remember, all of these post-it notes are from God's Word. Didn't make up anything. Just going to read what he told me and say what I prayed about this morning. He had his white paintbrush out. Did you notice that this morning? Yeah. Covered up all that ugly brown of the fall. And now we have this beautiful white of the winter. And Isaiah said, Isaiah 1:18, though your sins and my sins be as red as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. We have that to look forward to. And for the dear lady who spoke this morning, it gets better. It gets better. You can take that from a former drunk delivered by the grace of God. It gets better. Hang with this crowd, hang with anybody that's on a positive move in their life, and especially those who are moving with Jesus Christ. You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong. There's no self-help groups. There's no special programs. This is the instruction manual. And this ministry, any ministry that preaches Jesus Christ, is not only a program, it's the truth. Gee, I'll get going here. I didn't plan to say that. Anyway, I was here, had the privilege of speaking here in August of who we are in Christ, and we had a list of about 20, and that was a relatively small list. For those who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are somebody. And he said, the Holy Spirit will come as a gift when you know me. When you know Jesus Christ, I give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he did. But he also said, now I expect you to do something with it. You're not going to sit, warm the chair, or just sit there. It's all about you, because it isn't. So in Acts 1. He said this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses. And there was a witness this morning already. In Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And it's and. It just doesn't stop in one place, and this place, and this place, and to the ends of the earth. So, how are we going to be witnesses? Seeing as it's getting close to Christmas, and I don't mean Santa Claus, I mean the birth of Christ, the time we celebrate it, it's a wonderful thing, because them guys, them shepherds, were some of the first witnesses. They were. And I checked this out. And the angels came and they gave them the announcement. And they said, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed. And when we are witnesses, there's a lot of people going to be amazed. There was many who were amazed when I told them that Jesus Christ spared me, delivered me, and saved me. And I can't tell you what some of the responses were, but they weren't encouraging. Now you tell another drunk that a drunk has been delivered and he isn't going to drink anymore, and they'd say, you'll be back, you. Yeah, but I said, not today. So that day lasted a long, long time by the grace of God. So, go and tell. So I found a go and tell that I felt led to read. A good example of go and tell, Mark 5:18-20. Now, Jesus drove the demon out of this guy, sent him in a herd of pigs. Not a waste of pork chops, the demons all drowned. He got rid of them. And the guy who had been spared, he wanted to go with Jesus. But Jesus said no, didn't let him go. He said, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. Decapolis was the surrounding of 10 cities. So he didn't just stop at home, didn't just tell his family. He went around the whole neighborhood, the whole area, and told. That's be my witnesses. And the other one was in Acts 3:6-10. And this was Peter. He had the power. And he healed this crippled beggar. And this crippled beggar was quite a witness, because here's what he did when he was healed. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement. So when we're telling the story of what God has done, expect some wonder and amazement, but also expect some but don't give up. Some other ones that spoke to me this morning was the widow. The witness of the widow and her mites, and that came from Mark 12:41-44. And all the rich dudes went up and they dropped all their goodies in there, and they had lots of her to give. But this lady had 2 half pennies, 2 mites, and she put them in there. You know what Jesus said? She'll be remembered and remembered and remembered. And if you crack the book, she's still remembered, the widow's mites. And the other one was in Luke 7:38. This was a shady lady from off the street. And she was so grateful, and she was a powerful witness for Jesus. She washed his feet with her tears, and she dried his feet with her hair. Jesus also said, she will be remembered. She will be remembered, and it's in the book. Another one that I thought of and touched me when I read it was the guy that Jesus healed of his blindness. And when he went, they asked the Pharisees and the priests and all the high-powered intellectual dudes said, nah, this isn't the same guy. He said, oh, yes, it is. It's me. They got after his parents, and they said, you ask him, because they didn't want to get in trouble. But he persisted in his witness. He persisted. He didn't give up. He kept in there, and that's for us, too. That's an example for us, is not to give up in our witness. There will be encouraging times, but you can also bet your last dollar that. No, not a dollar. We don't have them anymore. That's how old I am. Your last toonie. That there will be scoffers and mockers, and let them have at her. And the only thing I know how to answer them with is bless you. Is bless you. And the whole New Testament is a witness of Jesus Christ, the whole thing from beginning to end. So we better be reading it to get encouragement, to get conviction, to get disciplined, and to be ready to go out. And what are we going to do, you and me? Well, we can be good witnesses by how we live our life, and how we will seek God, and how we will boldly go out and proclaim him. Now, that takes a little bit of courage, but the courage doesn't have to come from you and me. He'll give you not only the courage, he will give you the opportunity. And I learned this after years and years and years at Loaves and Fishes, to say, well, Lord, you give the opportunity, and then you tell me what I'm supposed to say or do. And he always does. He's ever faithful. Because if I come and pick you, you become my victim. And we don't want to do that. And me to beat you over the head with my Thompson Chain Reference Bible. And say, now, this is the truth, learn it. So, we all have that opportunity. Stan talked about it last week. There's some who have been Christians for a long time, a short time, time to get off the milk, and time, I was going to say pork chops. No, we're going to time to grab some A and W non-hormone fed beef and have some meat. And that meat is get up and go and tell your witness. By your life, too. Tell what God's done. And you know, he always gives us a way to do that. And I've used this many times, and that's from 1 Peter 3:15. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asked you to give the reason for the hope that you have. That hope is Jesus Christ. But do this with what? With gentleness and respect. So that eliminates me beating you with my Thompson Chain reference and telling you turn or burn. We attract people with love, and that love comes from Christ, so we have to have it before we can give it. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about my witness. So would you play that track for me, please, because this one has spoke to me time and time again about my life and Christ, what he's done for me that I've been able to tell. Tell them George Jones.
No.
Jones, yeah. So, that sort of a theme song for me, and I believe in my heart that God delivered me. I'm not in recovery, I'm delivered. It's done. It's done. And he delivered me to go and tell, or I wouldn't have ended up where I am today. I wouldn't have ended up here. I ended up working in a penitentiary with guys that I'd been on the street with in Edmonton. And I won't tell you what they said about me when I was there working. But I told them the only difference in my life at that time that I thought was now I was sober. And I got a pardon. So I could be there and tell them, you don't have to. You don't have to. I started drinking early, probably between 10 and 12. I was sipping a bit. Role models, cowboys, coal miners, and soldiers. And all that group of people were known to sip a bit and a bit more and a bit more. So there was a lot of drinking and scrapping, and that was the days of the macho men. And actually, it was the days of the stupid men. Yes. And I was a drunk. I always thought alcoholic was so sterile, so medical, so worldly, social label for what I was. Alcoholic to describe a sinful life, and sin is sin is sin no matter what it is you were doing, and that's what I was living as a drunk. And you know, everybody here must know that you can rationalize anything, can't you? You can rationalize to justify your behavior. And I had the 1 million rationalizations. I always worked. I supported my family. Yeah, I did food, clothing, and shelter. And if I was in the right mood and sober, I showed up for some family events. And this was so much fun. Ho, ho, ho. Two black eyes, a broken nose, a wrecked car. And I'm in a drunk tank with 30 other people in Edmonton, and the toilet facility is a hole in the middle of the floor. And that's fun. That's fun. So that's a rationalization. Only hurting myself. That's it. It was only me I was hurting. Just me. And I could quit any time. Well, from age 14 to 32, any time didn't show up for a long time. And here was the truth. This is the truth. I hurt everyone who cared for me, my parents, my friends, and a lot of the good guys who were friends, who I played hockey with, who I grew up with, I went to school. They couldn't hang around because it was too much. It was too much for them, and I don't blame them. And I left a trail of sadness, betrayal, hurt, disappointment. And you know what happens in that lifestyle? You lie to yourself so long that you believe your own fluff. After a while, you believe it. So you continue in your shabby, sordid life, or evolving around your fellow drunks. Because that's the only people after a while who associate with you. Decent folk will stay well back. Well back. And justly so, too. Meanwhile, through all of this, you know, God is a loving God and a caring God. And he come that none should perish. And he thought, well, I don't want old Jared to perish either. So I'm going to look after him while he's stumbling in the darkness. Stan talked about a wanderer. Yes, indeed. Wandering around in my own stupidity. And during that time, I was blessed with a dear wife, beautiful children. Mother still loved me. And the idol of self, though, important Jer, and the jug were still number one. Still number one. And eventually, I stood on the edge of losing that, all this goodness that God had given and all these people who loved me and surrounded me and wanted better for me. I stood on the edge of losing that. And I tell you, the agony and the awful, awful heavy feeling of that happening, I just couldn't bear it. I just thought, no, I can't. So, you know, the macho men with their cowboy boots always kept a big knife in there for intimidation and to clean your fingernails. After my last drunken episode, I vowed I'll run her across here before I'll have another drink. And in my pride and conceit, because remember, I'm still number one, I just eliminated the bottle, I thought it was my willpower. I thought it was me. Well, that's how dumb I was. But you know, this is the only way I can explain it, and I've said it to many of the guys and ladies I've worked with, is this, that God said, look, there he is again, drunk as a billy goat, and I've given him lots and lots and lots of signs and stuff, and there he is. So today, he's going to quit, and he'll think it was him. Because he's so conceited and arrogant, he'll think it was him. But in time, I came to understand it was the grace and mercy of God that he so clearly demonstrated in Jesus Christ, his Son. It was his grace, his mercy. He loved, he bled and died for us, and even me. And a psalm that really spoke to my heart over the years, and I recommend it to anybody who's needs to cry out, Psalm 40, verse 1 to 3, I've got here. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He did do that, but he waited patiently for me. He said the stumbling will eventually show up. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. And it put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. So if anyone here today is struggling, or you have a loved one who is struggling, and our family got a whole bunch of them, and we continue and pray for them, don't give up on love. Don't give up on prayer. Pray as Jesus prayed for us, that we would be one with him. God's arm is definitely not too short to save, and his ear is not too dull to hear. And that came from Isaiah 59:9, I believe. You know, Jesus said this in John 8, speaking to the people. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. We won't be wandering in darkness. We'll walk in the light of Christ. But they will have the light of life. And when we receive Christ, we have that light. Those who last weekend received Christ, and those who have received him over the years, they have that light. We have the Holy Spirit. There's no reason why we can't proclaim, why we can't go, and why we can't tell. And I'd like to close with this. We're to the end of the posting notes. Matthew 5:16. You, me, are the salt of the earth. And on to verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to the whole room. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So this morning, and in the days to come, when you leave this place and are out there, as you go and tell, let your light shine for Jesus Christ.
Amen. Praise God. I just sense that been ministering to some people here this past week, but there, some people need some encouraging prayers. And so I would just invite you, Rob's is going to come up, maybe do some couple songs here. But if you've been struggling in areas of whatever the case may be, God is able to deliver you. Even as he's done it for me, he can do it for you. I was no different than Jerry, than many of you guys here. Alcohol had me, and I lost my wife and children for a bottle of beer in exchange for my wife and my two children. I had a bottle of beer. That's what I exchanged, you know. But the God of all mercies came and saved me. Amen. And it brought my wife back to me. And I mean, he's restored so many things in my life, I tell you. So this God that we serve is able to restore to you even your health. You may be struggling in health, some areas in your health, your body, that you need a healing. God is able to restore. This God that we serve is not a small little God. Amen? He's a mighty God. The whole universe can't contain him. Can you believe that? Everything, just picture it, the whole universe cannot contain this God that we serve. Yet this God comes to live in our hearts. And he gives us the power. That's the thing. My brother Jerry was looking for self-will. You know, I can do it. Yep, I'm going to quit drinking. I'm going to quit this. I. But I tell you, I tried that I guy, and he didn't work for me either. Until Jesus came in. And then Jesus gave me the power to live this Christian life. It's absolutely impossible to live this Christian life in victory outside the power of the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. It's got to be by the Holy Spirit. Amen? That self-will, I tell you. You know? So I just invite you, if you have a need, if you have, you know, you're struggling and you need some prayer, you need a support, hallelujah. Just come on forward. We'll pray with you. And let's get and play a couple songs here. But I just want to say, Lord God, for those that have to leave, Lord God, just give them a safe trip home, Lord God, and we thank you. Thank you for the snow, Lord God. We see how white it is, and that this is how our lives are right now, Lord God, because of your precious blood, Lord God. Once our sin was so predominant in our minds and our hearts and our lives, it ruled over us, but your blood came, and we were showered in the blood of Jesus, and now we are white as snow. Clothed with righteousness, just as if I've never sinned. Hallelujah. God, your grace and mercy. That's all we can say. Lord God, go with my brothers. Go with my sisters. God, just may they have an awesome week, Lord God. And may they just rest in you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen.
There must be more than this. O breath of God, come breathe within. There must be more than this. Spirit of God, we wait for you. Fill us anew, we pray. Fill us anew, we pray. Consuming fire, fan into flame, a passion for your name. Spirit of God, fall in this place. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way with us. Come like a rushing wind, clothe us with power from on high. Now set the captives free, leave us abandoned to your prey. Lord, let your glory fall. Lord, let your glory fall. Consuming fire, fan into flame, a passion for your name. Spirit of God, fall in this place. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way with us. There must be more than this. O breath of God, come breathe within. There must be more than this. Spirit of God, we wait for you. Fill us anew, we pray. Fill us anew, we pray. Consuming fire, fan into flame, of passion for your name. Spirit of God, fall in this place. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way with us. Have your way with us. Lord, have your way. Have your way with us.
Don't leave here today. If you need prayer, please come forward. And Alman's here, and Don, and there's others that'll pray with you. It's important that we bring all these things to God. He knows your life. He knows where you're at. He knows the struggles you're going through. Unless you're willing to lay them at the foot of the cross, it's not going to make any difference. So don't leave here without prayer.
Holy Spirit, come.
Holy Spirit, come.
Let this be your home.
Let this be your home.
Come and dwell among.
Oh, come and dwell among.
All of us who sing this song. Come into this place.
Come into this place.
Shine on every face.
Shine on every face.
Fill us with your love and grace. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come.
Oh, Holy Spirit, come.
Let this be your home.
Let this be your home.
Come and dwell among.
Oh, come and dwell among.
All of us who sing this song. Come into this place.
Come into this place.
Shine on every face.
Oh, shine on every face.
Fill us with your love and grace. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come.
Oh, Holy Spirit, come.
Let this be your home.
Oh, let this be your home.
Come and dwell among.
Oh, come and dwell among.
All of us who sing this song. Come into this place.
Oh, come into this place.
Shine on every face.
Oh, shine on every face.
Fill us with your love and grace. Holy Spirit, come.
God bless you.